This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
You leave Jerry alone, he's not retiring any time soon.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Final hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app and now on TSN 2. A smooth final hour. A smooth opener.
That word TSN.
I've said it probably 4 million times over the past 7 years.
It might be the one word you've said the most in your life.
TSN?
Yeah.
Maybe. I say it like 15 times a day.
WNBC.
TSN. Doesn't have the same ring to it.
No.
Leafs in action tonight, Arizona in town. Must-win game. I don't think it's a trap.
It's a must-win game, not because of where they are in the standings or anything. It's just a must-win game for their week as well. They've got a busy week. Yeah, it may not be against cup-contending teams, but you still have a lot of work this week ahead of you.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of road games coming up. I believe 15 of the next 20 are on the road, so that's take advantage while you're at home. But agreed. This is more about being disrespectful towards the Arizona Coyotes. That's really what it is. You can't lose to the worst team in the league at home.
Yeah.
Unless their goalie has a miracle night.
Yeah,
it's one of those games where a guy stands on his head. And to be fair to them, they walked into Montreal. They beat the Habs. They beat Ottawa in overtime over the weekend.
Yeah.
They've won two in a row. That's enough. You know? If the Leafs play the way they're capable of playing, this should be a no-contest type of game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make it 7 in a row. You keep the good vibes going, man.
Mm-hmm.
They've won 6 in a row. They've banked 12 points in a week and a half.
Won't take that back. And it was a little bit bleak coming off that road trip. They'd lost 5 of 6. People's spirits were a little down and stuff. And it's amazing how the reversal of fortune can come a week and a half later.
Well, there's a lot of markets in this country that are hoping for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Montreal and Edmonton being the two primary teams.
For sure.
Winnipeg's riding high. They're playing really well.
Mm-hmm.
Ottawa.
Vancouver's hit and miss. Ottawa's lost 2 in a row. One in overtime, which went against Arizona, the game I called on Saturday. And then yesterday against New York. I didn't think they... It was a really weird game. And watching that game, the Rangers have kind of just hung around. Like, for a while there, we all thought they were done.
And Lundqvist stinks, and they're done.
And then they just started
creeping around.
Well, I think they won 6 in a row, kind of like what the Leafs did. Yeah,
Hank had a shutout the other day.
Yeah, and now that team kind of, they're just right there. Zibanejad has actually been their hottest player. That's the Broussard-Zibanejad trade. He scored the empty netter yesterday. But, you know, that team's kind of hanging around. Like, I personally didn't choose them for the playoffs this year, the Rangers, because I thought they were going to maybe be in that little the turnaround phase now. They've got some question marks there with Rick Nash, and, you know, they went out and signed Shattenkirk, who's a good player. He's got some points for them.
Yep, he's a top four.
Points. So they're a team that kind of hangs around, but... Ottawa's lost, that was their first road loss in regulation, but they do have, including yesterday, 10 of 11 on the road. The Leafs have 15 of 20. That you got to make some points on the road.
You've got to bank those points on the road, absolutely. And the Leafs, again, tonight have an opportunity to continue to lean closer towards Tampa than the other teams in their division. That's why that win on Saturday was so significant. Not only because it was against Montreal, in Montreal, and Matthews... He's back, and he scored two beauties on Saturday night, and they embarrassed the Habs at the Bell Center. That's what the Leafs did, and you take advantage of that because for 3 years, the Habs owned Toronto. Mm-hmm. They had beaten the Leafs 14 games in a row, and that now feels like a distant memory. A distant memory.
Yeah,
14 losses in a row to Montreal, and the Leaf fans were scattered throughout the Bell Center. They were chanting all night. They were singing Olé, 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 which is something you rarely see an opposing fan base do in that building. But that also cleared the Leafs 10 points ahead of Montreal. 10 points up on Montreal through 21 games apiece.
What was the goofy thing they did one year? They were like 10 points up on somebody, and then they ended up...
Well, that was the final meltdown. That was 4 years ago, yeah.
Who were they up on? Ottawa or somebody? Or
no, wasn't it Montreal?
I think it might have been Montreal.
Because Montreal had really had a tough start, and then no. Montreal had a strong start, but I can't remember. It was.
I don't remember the details.
They just had a point flip where it was outrageous.
Yeah, there were 9 points into a playoff spot with like 15 games to go.
And ended up 10 out.
They missed by nine. It was an 18-point swing. Okay. But that's
long.
That's gone, man. Like, that's gone. This is a different team. This is a different world we're living in here. I mean, the Toronto sports scene, again, is rock solid.
Mm-hmm.
Argos are going to the Grey Cup. TFC feels good against Columbus starting tomorrow night. The Raptors have won four in a row. They've got one of the hottest teams in the league. Top five offense. Kyle Lowry starting to put up points and feeling comfortable in that offense. And the Leafs have won six in a row, and they're going for seven in a row tonight. I mean, it's a good time to be a Toronto sports fan.
You said it, though. Don't let those baseball guys ruin this.
Maybe
what could they do to ruin it?
Maybe they can improve it.
It's an off season right now. They're
listen,
not gonna...
maybe they
so
can
they
improve
make a,
it.
Like a sick move. They sign Donaldson, make a trade.
Well, I think...
What would they do? What could they do for you to stay on par with the other Toronto sports teams?
Sign Donaldson.
As far as an off-season move would go.
Yeah, probably sign Donaldson, but it's got to be more than that. You know, you've got to do more than that because Donaldson was a part of a 76-win team a year ago. So right. you've got to improve this team. You've got to improve in left. You've got to improve in right, I think, in second base. You need a fifth starter. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces with this organization, but I think at this point just – status quo.
Right.
Avoid signing someone you shouldn't. Avoid making a deal that isn't going to make sense. Just stay quiet. Stay out of it. And that was my point. Just stay out of it. Just hang out until the winter meetings.
Yeah.
Do your own thing.
Stay out of that nonsense.
Stay out of this nonsense. Give us a couple of weeks to just relax and bask in all of the winning in Toronto. But as for the Leafs, again, I mean, if they win tonight in regulation, I don't believe Tampa's playing tonight. That'll put them 2 points back of the Lightning.
Yep.
The Lightning are 15-3-2. The Leafs win tonight. They're two back. So from that standpoint, even though we watch them closer than any other team in the league, and I think at times we can be unfairly critical of them compared to the way we criticize other teams.
Well, we're not too far removed from kind of a bit of a mini meltdown where we're like, what the hell is this team doing?
A week and a half ago.
Yeah.
But now they put themselves in a position where you have to ask yourself, how many teams are better than them in the Eastern Conference? Tampa is better than them. I would put Pittsburgh ahead of them. I think
I would right now. I wouldn't. Pittsburgh's not better than them right now.
Pittsburgh's better than them.
Yeah, and
Pittsburgh's
and
better.
Pittsburgh's
you got
right now road games.
You got it. You're just going by the past. Right now, they're not better than them.
Okay, if they're playing tonight at home, would I take the Leafs? I might do that.
Yeah.
But if we're talking big picture and actually. You know,
yeah.
Like oh, you want to go, if you want to do that, say, oh, they got Crosby, again. Malkin, but right now they're not better. Pittsburgh
okay.
is not playing that good
but
right now.
But who do you think at the end of the season is going to have a better opportunity at winning a Stanley Cup? Do you think the Maple Leafs could be in a position come April 15th where you actually sit there and say, I like their chances more than Pittsburgh's? I can't picture myself in that position right now. I think Pittsburgh deserves the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
They've had a couple of bad games. They've got smoked a couple of times.
Yeah, and that's where...
But they're still Pittsburgh.
I think that's where... You know, it's funny. Mike Sullivan the other day kind of tuned up a reporter in Ottawa because the reporter talked about the numbers. But they've had three disastrous games, Pittsburgh, on back-to-backs. So those numbers skew your overall...
Well, their goal differential, they're minus 16.
Right, that's right. But they gave up a 10 spot, I think an 8 and a 7, something gross. I don't have them right in front of me, but I know there was a 10 spot involved. You can't throw those games out because you played them. But they've played 14 games out of their 22 on the road. I think they're perfect at home. I think they're 6-0-1 at home.
I believe so.
And their schedule gets a lot more favorable. Like, I think... To your point, Brian, once the dust settles and you go through the whole process, Pittsburgh's going to be just fine. I can't believe when I look at it, the amount of hockey they've played 2 years in a row, including World Cup for a guy like Sid. And, yeah, he went 11 games without a goal, but, like, he's fine. I'm not worried. He's built up enough.
He's LeBron. I don't care what he does during the regular season.
He's built up enough with me that I don't worry about Sidney Crosby.
But who else in the East, if you push Tampa and Pittsburgh aside, can you make a decisive case that they're absolutely better than the Leafs?
Nobody.
I don't think there's a third team.
I like Washington, but I think Washington's had a bad start. And I don't know if Washington, their turnover has hurt their team, or those young guys that they've given opportunities have to get up there. But I wouldn't choose them over them now. Mm-hmm. Like last year, absolutely.
Yes.
This year, there's been too much turnover, and their top players aren't. Like Backstrom's had a bad start. Holtby hasn't been great.
Their defense Holtby's, core hasn't been great.
Right, like they just haven't put it all together, if they are going to. I think Washington's going to fly under the radar all year long.
Yeah.
And I'm almost with Washington like you are with LeBron and them. I don't care what they do in the regular season, because they've won the President's Trophy 2 years in a
back
row, and it still
years.
Doesn't work.
Yeah,
it still
hasn't
worked.
They lose to Pittsburgh every year.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, other than that, like there's teams now that, like Columbus has got a really good goalie, but they're a good young team. Jersey for me has surprised. Like, if I had to openly admit about a team where I didn't see this one coming.
Biggest shock in the East.
I think Jersey has been a really big shock. They're fast, they're skilled, they got a great goaltender who didn't have a great season last year.
But I'm still taking Toronto.
Yeah, like in a seven, like if you're talking like a seven
game
series.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Out east, I'm not seeing a lot of pushback from teams.
Well, and that might explain the Oliver Ekman-Larsson rumor and conversation about how quickly we've gotten to this point, where 2 years ago they were openly tanking, they were the worst team in the league. Last year, they surprised a lot of people. They played the role of what New Jersey is doing this year. Now we're 21 games into this season. They've won six in a row, and it's like, wait a minute. How many teams can you put ahead of them in terms of feeling good about the prospects of a seven-game series? And you can't just wait until you are unanimously accepted as the best team in the league. That's not the way it works. If you feel like you're a top 8 or 10 team, sometimes you take a kick at the can. Yeah. A lot of teams do that.
Mm-hmm.
No guarantees it's going to work.
No.
I mean, maybe they get to April and they play the wrong team, they get swept in the first round. That can happen.
Yeah,
but
it's going to be the Pittsburgh-Washington situation. They're getting Washington either first or second. Or, I mean, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Which is
Tampa.
Just brutal. It's like, couldn't you do that in the conference finals if it came to that?
But that's the way it works, right?
I know. And it's we'll see what we think of that.
If they get to that point.
Yeah.
Right.
But,
yeah, like
you know, all the Washington fans are...
Well, they're...
Like oh, they just... They run into Pittsburgh. They run into Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
They hate it. And I don't really like it that much either. Because
no.
I'd like to see it in the conference final, but the way Washington's played in the playoffs, it's like there's no guarantee they would ever do that.
Yeah. Plus, there's still 60 games to play.
There's a lot of moving
parts.
There's a lot.
Well, Tampa's going to be that team for the Leafs. It's like they're not going anywhere for a few years.
I would expect Tampa to continue at this pace. I think they're...
Yeah, but come next year, you're going to be looking at Tampa, a healthy lineup. It's like, oh, they're there again.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
More than likely.
Yeah.
But I think that's a two-way street. I mean, Toronto's got a lot of talent.
I agree.
Like, again, they're coming off a Saturday night where Matthews and Marner connected for the first time, looked pretty good, two really nice goals, two nice setups, and Babcock has the luxury of saying, no, actually, I'm going to split them up again. And I think it's the right move. As much as I'm entertained by that, and from a fantasy standpoint or a video game standpoint, would I like to see those two play together for a 10-game stretch? Yeah, I would like to see it. Just out of curiosity, I'd like to see what kind of numbers they can put up.
Right.
I think it's the right move. Those are two line-driving players. And I think Nylander has proven early in his career, if he's not with Matthews, he's not as dangerous. He needs Matthews more than Matthews needs Nylander. But Mitch Marner, I think Bozak and JVR need Marner more than he needs them. I think those are the two catalysts of those two lines. And then Nazem Kadri just continues to perform. Scored again. He's on pace for 40. Not going to hit 40. But yeah. We all were in the same boat. We expected closer to 20, I think, than 30 this year. Yeah. And you've got to adjust that number through 21 games. Kadri is a legit
threat. I thought he would take
threat.
I'm not necessarily a step back, but it seemed like everything went right for him last year.
Yeah, I still...
He's been very good. He's turned himself into a real good pro.
Well, he's a good player.
Yeah.
I still have to... I mean, I'm not going to back off. I hope he gets 30 for his sake, but there's times where guys go through stretches. Like I say, you go through, Nylander went through what, 11 without one? Like it happens, but that's where other guys in the lineup pick you up, or other guys in the lineup start to I guess they score and other guys don't. So
the only consistent point getter has been Matthews. Like, he's playing his 100th career regular season game tonight. I think he has 92 points.
90 points in 99 games.
Is it 90 and 99?
Mm-hmm.
So he has been close to a point per game guy. I mean, he had four his first game.
Yeah.
And he never really looked back.
Took four off and came back and ripped home two.
Scored two. And said afterwards, didn't feel like he had his best game, and I would agree with that. I thought he looked a bit sluggish the first 40 minutes anyway.
Yeah, it takes time. Yeah,
but who cares?
To get your timing back.
Game was over anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a perfect scenario. Look at how they survived without him. They bring him back. They win 6-0 against their biggest rival. And now they got Arizona at home tonight, and you have to believe he'll be inspired to put on a show for his hometown.
Yeah.
There's a chance he finds his game tonight. If he didn't think he found it with two goals on Saturday, I have a feeling he'll find it tonight. It might be points night for 34.
Yeah, he's got a couple buddies on that team, too, so he'll be jacked up, ready to go.
Well, I think he's inspired by hardware, too. I think he ultimately wants to win. He says all the right things at the right times.
Right.
But I wouldn't be shocked if he walked out of Vegas last June and said, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool being the only guy that got that award, that got to go up on stage and talk about how great my rookie season was.
Yeah, how do I get back there again?
Keep performing. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the heart race, we're going to talk about it all year, but if he ends up with more than a point a game and 40 goals and they end up top three or four in the East, he's going to be in that conversation.
Him, Stamkos, Kucherov.
Well, there's some teams out west, too.
Oh, I get it. Who else?
Well, Kopitar, of course. I think the Winnipeg boys, Scheifele, he'll get some love. Wheeler's going to get some love.
Could be Hellebuck. Never know. Guy's record's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Like I think there's always a maybe less than but close to 10 people you talk about all season long. And
now usually a couple guys separate
themselves. It'll shrink, but early on those are the names you're throwing around.
Well, McDavid had 3 points again on Saturday. He's going to get going. He's already going. Like, I think he's probably going to lead the league in points or be close to it. We had a Jerry's on this last week. I think I said 50%.
Man, they're a tire fire.
But if they don't get in, he's probably not going to be up for a Hart because it just doesn't work that way. Hockey voters don't give the Hart to a guy on a team that doesn't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter Chiarelli said it over the weekend. With each passing game, they lose a little bit of runway to land that plane, man.
Yeah. It's true.
They've played 20 games, 21 games, and they have not performed well.
Johnny Gaudreau. I keep forgetting. And we're not even looking at St. Louis, too. Like, that Jaden Schwartz is fourth in scoring. And did you see Braden Schenn at tied for fourth in
scoring?
He's
been really good. That was a good trade. Sneaky trade, man.
I was going to say, could that be one of the most underrated trades in the offseason? You wonder,
and it seemed like Philly was, his name was always rumored to either be getting, it's like, what a player.
But you wonder, but you wonder what the reasoning was there. Like, there, to me, there's something else. I don't know.
Hextall, it sounds like,
wasn't a fan.
Something happened.
Yeah, like,
because remember when he was working on his contract, and then he was on the fourth line at one point in training camp, and it was, there was a lot of smoke there. It felt like it was inevitable. He was going
to
get moved on.
Hey, man, change of scenery. You're a skilled player. You get to play with Schwartz and Tarasenko. That's the recipe for kind of turning your career around.
Yeah, I would say so.
Because he is dynamite.
He's a good player. Plus, he plays a little edge. I don't mind that, too.
Well, we were talking about this earlier, the Nazem Kadri show on Saturday night with his reaction to the Pacioretty hit.
Yeah.
And I like that he's got that edge. I mean, it makes you a bit nervous because you don't know what he's going to do or when he's going to cross the line to the point where...
Right.
George Parros is going to call him and say you're sitting for the next 5 or 10 games. But he went after Weber, and you said you didn't like the hit.
I thought it was a cheap hit.
I thought it was shoulder on shoulder.
And then he turtled. Like, that's, you know, be a man and fight him. Like,
well, Jordy Ben then can step aside and let him fight.
You're right.
Like, Ben grabs him, and then Weber gets up and starts throwing.
Put it this way. If you turtle, you know you've done something wrong. Like... That's the only thing I had. Like,
or you're afraid you're going to get the
exactly.
Crap beat
like
out of
you know what's coming.
That
when
was
you're
my
turtling.
Signature move.
Well, here's what I would say about Kadri and that whole situation. I got the impression like he was yelling at Pacioretty to drop the gloves. So if you're going to take issue with a guy going soft, Pacioretty decided to get to the bench pretty quickly when Kadri was closing in on him, and Pacioretty got him.
Yeah.
But I thought both those hits had a dangerous element to it. But it looked shoulder on shoulder with the puck handler to me.
I like, yeah, that's I saw the way a different it looked like angle to me. That it looked like he popped Weber in the head. Now,
don't you think Parros would be paying attention to that, though?
Yeah,
like the NHL would be calling him if he did get him in the head?
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard that they're even reviewing the hit.
No, I don't
Nothing.
Think so.
Haven't heard anything.
Like he's playing tonight.
Yeah,
so.
No. You're right.
I don't know. I mean, I
that's how he plays, though. He
but don't you like
spot.
That, though? Like, I know
do.
What you're saying about him dropping. And to be fair to him, he has fought. Like, he's fought back as before. He'll get in fights.
Right.
That was it Atkins? Who tuned him up in Columbus that one year? He got. He wasn't 13. Expecting it.
It was
Calvert, wasn't it?
Jeff Calvert. Yeah, Matt Calvert.
Matt Calvert got him. He
well,
was.
Because
he's
he was
a tough
slashing.
Kid.
Yeah, I mean, I think he chose the wrong door.
I think he did. But I like that.
Well,
he,
you want somebody to play with the edge,
yeah,
for sure.
He didn't like the hit, and he's like, forget it. And a loose cannon every once in a while is something that I can appreciate.
Agreed, 100%. And we were talking about it earlier. He's developed into a really nice player.
Right.
Like, he's developed into a well-rounded player from early in his career where you were wondering, is he ever going to get it? And then, you know, played the risk-reward, and I think Babcock's done a nice job with him. I think Shanny did a nice job with him as far as getting him to grow up a little bit off the ice, and the kid's matured, and he's not even a kid anymore. He's 27 years old.
Well, and you know what? I think I don't know if this would be considered a compliment, but from a fan's perspective, what he has done is he has taken his name out of trade discussion.
He's a solid number two
he's
centerman.
He's a solid, locked-in number two for years.
And a good economical contract.
Right, at 4.5.
Just let me take a step back a bit. You guys were talking about borderline hits and what you thought was a clean hit. There was a hit yesterday on Borowiecki.
Yeah.
I thought
Brandon
it was
Smith.
Just a dirty, rotten hit. And was that's how a guy could... Did you see that hit?
Mm-hmm. I was watching the game. He got a boarding major. He did. I mean, Brandon
like,
Smith got a boarding
God,
major.
Good God, that was horrible. That's how you can really...
I was kind of shocked... Like, afterwards, he got a major, and then if you look at Brendan Smith's comments, he said, we locked eyes, I thought he knew I was going to finish him. But it was such a dangerous area, but it
but
was
they
an
were
interference.
15 feet from the puck.
I was going to say, the puck was, 15 feet away, so it was kind of like, you probably don't make that, or you don't make that hit. And if it's anybody else, Borowiecki is a pretty tough customer. If that is Kyle Turris, he's still laying there.
Mm-hmm. You wait till the next time they play.
Yeah, you're right. Like that's
well, that's the truth too. With the Leafs and Habs, they don't play again until like March 17th or
it's
something
a while
like that.
Back.
You got to have them playing within 2 weeks.
Well, I know, but you'd like them to.
You spread it out, right? I mean, they play the Leafs and Habs are the last game of the season too at the ACC. That'll be interesting to see where these two teams
well,
are.
Well, you're hoping at least it's worth something to somebody. You know what I mean?
If it's I would not, prefer if it wasn't worth anything to anyone. Which, in other words, the Leafs have already punched their tickets, and the Habs have already booked their trips on Trivago.ca.
So then that it's a nothing game.
Yes. We're inviting everyone to TSN 1050's Maple Leaf versus Oilers party December 10th down at the Pint. Bring out your friends and cheer on the Leafs as they face off against McDavid and the Oilers. We're also looking for 38 VIPs who have a shot at leaving the Pint with Leaf tickets or a trip for two to Vegas for the Maple Leaf Golden Knight New Year's Eve matchup. You can win VIP tickets on Leafs Lunch and right here on Overdrive every weekday before the big party. Again, that's December 10th at the Pint. So the way this works is Mullen plays the really corny, cheesy roulette noise. We hit the roulette board, and then we tell you which number you have to be when we open up the phone lines to win a VIP ticket. Mulls, hit it. Black 11 is what we're looking for. Number 11, caller 11 at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Caller 11 right now picks up a VIP ticket to hang out with the TSN 1050 crew and a chance to win great prizes down at the Pint December 10th with the Oilers taking on the Leafs down at the ACC. The Argos are off to Ottawa. It's Grey Cup week. The Argos are back in the Grey Cup. They'll be taking on the best team in the league, the Calgary Stampeders. We'll tee it up. We'll look back at yesterday's game. Jim Popp, their GM, will join us next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVRs on TSN 2. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later. Find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca, and subscribe and check us out on iTunes. Every hour of every show up on iTunes. Don't forget, the MLS playoffs continue with TFC facing rival Columbus in the Eastern Conference Championship. Catch the first leg Tuesday, 7:30 on TSN and right here on TSN 1050. So TFC back in action tomorrow. Feels like it's been about a month and a half.
It does.
It has been 2 weeks.
Plus the nonsense on the outside.
Right. With the appeal process. And
yeah, like suspension. And mm-hmm. It just... But
let's
our
get
buddy
going.
Wheel says that he thinks they're still favored.
Wheeler absolutely believes they win in Columbus tomorrow. Because they went into Columbus earlier in the year and won 5-0 without Jovinko and without Altidore. So he might have something. Wheeler is connected. Wheeler's our inside man when it comes to TFC. So they're back in action tomorrow. The Argos are still playing, too. They've got a big game next weekend.
Yes, they do.
In Ottawa. It's Grey Cup week. They are off to the Grey Cup. Yesterday, it looked like they were home free early in that game. Like they were just going to cruise to an easy Eastern final win. And then Saskatchewan made it close in the fourth quarter. It was a wild finish, but they did prevail. They are off to the Grey Cup. And to chat about it, we're joined now by their GM, Jim Popp. What was your experience like in the fourth quarter?
Good evening, gentlemen. You know what? It was long. you know, when you did the coin toss and the wind was strong and it affected the game. And obviously when you know a team has the wind in the fourth quarter, then you want to build up a lead because you just don't know how it's going to go. So, but we made some plays into the wind in the game. We scored 2 touchdowns into the wind. So it really made a difference.
It seemed like it was a great crowd, great atmosphere. Do you think outside of the wind factoring in that the home crowd and home field did actually play a part in how that game played out?
Oh, there's no it definitely does. You know, the energy that a home crowd brings into an arena, into a stadium, into the pitch, whatever you're doing, it just energizes the players and gets them pumped up. But there's no mistaking that sometimes, you know, when the crowd gets loud, especially in football, it throws teams off. They don't hear the snap count, and it can cause, you know, offsides or early movement or even a delay of getting off line of scrimmage early. So our players felt it. There's no question, and it always makes a difference.
I haven't seen the line yet in terms of what the expectations are, but I think it's safe to say you guys will be considered the underdogs. Calgary's been the best team in the CFL for the past couple of years. We know what happened last year at the Grey Cup where it was a similar situation. Ottawa was playing the role of underdog, but they ended up winning that game. If that is the case, if you do consider yourself an underdog, how might that work to your advantage this week?
Well, you know what, we'll see. You know, what helps is we're in the East, so hopefully we'll pick up some fans and hopefully we'll have the divisional situation where the East is pulling for the East. And you know, technically we should have more fans there just because we're an Eastern team. But, yeah, we should be an underdog. Obviously, when Calgary's had the year they had, and as you mentioned, for a few years they've had a very strong team. They're a very, very good football team. They might not have played their best football over the last end of the season. They've had injuries, but they played a great game yesterday. And for us, you know, we've strung along quite a few wins down the stretch and probably are as healthy as we've been and played some of our better football, too. So that's just what happens throughout a course of a year, long season, and I heard you guys talking about the TFC in Columbus, you know, and people are talking how the game's going to go. But at the end of it, you know, on game day, you got to perform. You got to, you know, you got to make plays. You got to score and defend and all those things. And anything can happen. So the Grey Cup week or a championship game week when you got a week to prepare is very different than any other week. And it's how you handle it. It's how you play the game. And you got a 50-50 shot.
How crazy is today for you? Obviously winning yesterday and today you make all the arrangements, you know, from hotels to travel to everything, tickets. Must be a crazy time getting everything organized.
It is. You know, I've been fortunate to be in this situation a few times. So, interesting thing, you got to plan way ahead. We've been planning. We even addressed the team well over a week ago. If we are in a situation, this is what we're doing. So it wasn't a shock factor, wasn't a panic factor. So a lot of times you don't want to have to do that, but you really have to, and you got to address it so that there's no, you know, things that are unturned. So we've been doing that. Obviously, we had a great time after we won last night, and the day is a long day because you know who your opponent is, and getting all the logistics stuff because we fly out of town tomorrow and basically take the whole organization and go. So it's been a long day, but a day that you love and relish, and can't wait to get into Ottawa.
With the GM of the Argos, Jim Popp. Again, Argos stamps at the 105th Grey Cup this weekend in Ottawa. You guys have had quite the journey in a short time here in Toronto. Obviously, you go way back from your Montreal days, but I think there was a lot of trepidation coming into this season because you guys got hired so late into the offseason, and then you started making moves, and there were uncertainties in terms of how quickly you could turn this around, considering how awful of a season the Argos had last year. At what point did you guys realize, was it day one, that you had it in you and you had the capabilities to make the right moves to put your team into a Grey Cup in year one?
Well, we've been fortunate to be able to make some moves along the way. I'm telling you, when we went through minicamp in late April, man, we came out of minicamp feeling pretty good. When we went through training camp, we felt good about what we had. And then as the season's gone, we had injuries, but our new players stepped in, and we had some up and down moments. But the one thing that we really realized we have an unbelievable group of men in a room that trust and buy in and care for one another. The coaches have done a great job of getting them prepped every week. And, you know, and they really believe, and we believe in them. So it's been a great process. It's been a lot of fun for Mark and I going along the way. And no matter what little challenges here and there, I mean, it helped a lot us even getting into our own facility by the middle of the season, because for the first half of the season we weren't. And then we finally got stabilized, and things have kind of fell into place. And we got one more game. It's quite a story, but I tell you what, it's been so much fun for us and the entire organization.
We're looking forward to it. Enjoy the week in Ottawa. Best of luck on Sunday, and I'm sure we'll break it down with you early next week. Thank you, Jim.
Perfect, gentlemen. You have a great night. Thank you.
There's Jim Popp, the GM of the Argos, off to the Grey Cup. Year one on the gig.
Pretty good turnaround.
Yeah, it is
Very good
turnaround.
Well, Mark Trestman, I mean, we know what happened to him in the NFL, and it didn't work out so well in Chicago. I think that was partially because it was the Bears. He had Cutler as a quarterback, but he is a magician in the CFL.
Yeah, Cutler had a rough go yesterday.
Cutler,
it's going.
Cutler's got to go, man. He's got to cut bait, like cut loose, and just call it a career. Get into the booth. That's enough. I can't blame him for taking the $10 or $12 million, whatever they paid him. But
exactly, like it's not his fault.
Like, the NFL, man, it's been a weird year. Like, a really strange year.
I've never seen anything where guys are just like, okay, I'm not going to play, I'm in the booth. Okay, yeah, I'm not going to be in the booth, I'm going to play. And like, is it that? Is the quarterback position that terrible right now, the prospects coming up, that there are no guys available?
Kaepernick's out there.
I know, that's what makes the Kaepernick situation more polarizing, but even outside of Kaepernick, is there nobody else? Johnny Manziel?
Like, I think if he didn't try to sue the league, he'd be playing right now.
Don't you think?
Everybody kneels and everybody does the Kaepernick, and there's nothing talked about them, but he's still not in the league.
But he got focused on a lot more than anyone else.
Yeah, suing the league.
No, I understand, but he was the poster boy of kneeling.
Yeah,
he did it
first. But everybody does it now.
I know, but he was the first. Like, I think he's got a pretty good case for being blackballed. Like, yeah. Again, you look at what's happening. Jay Peterman's throwing 5 picks in 14 throws. Like, I would walk into the courtroom, play Nathan Peterman's 5 picks, drop the mic, and say, I'll take the cash. Send me the money. Because if Peterman's getting snaps, Cutler's coming out of the booth and playing the way he's playing. Blake Bortles is getting snaps. There is some horrible quarterbacking in the NFL.
But that's what I'm
horrible
asking. Are there no up-and-coming, like,
I guess
superstars?
Not. No, there's a real discrepancy between the top 10, 15 guys. Like, look at Dak Prescott last night. You take away his starting left tackle and his stud running back, and all of a sudden Dak starts to look very average.
Right.
Very, like, that's why. Look at my boy Brett Hundley. Mm-hmm. Hundley went Hundley yesterday. Last week in Chicago, full credit to him. He performed. They won. He was great in the fourth quarter. Three picks and a fumble yesterday. They didn't score a point.
Yeah.
He can't play. Hundley can't play. When Rodgers got injured, I said lose out.
They're done.
Lose out. Finish with a top 10 pick. Wait for the guy to come back next year, because without him, you're done.
Yeah.
And that's what is going to happen here with the Packers. But you got Rodgers, you got Brady, you got Russell Wilson.
It's almost like I was speaking to an executive yesterday in the NHL, and there's about 8 or 10 elite goalies, and I just quarterback.
It's the exact same situation.
And then the rest are just, there's some good ones, and then there's a couple bottom tier guys. But he was talking like, in looking at options, there's nobody to stop the bleeding if your elite guy gets hurt, and you can't find a goalie anywhere.
No.
That's why Montreal grabbed Antti Niemi. And I brought that up to him, and he's like, well, there's nobody else available. You're not looking around the league.
Jose Theodore was available.
Yeah, Jose, or whatever he said his name was.
Joe Theodore.
Jose.
I think
Jose would have been better than Niemi the other night.
Do you think he would have stopped that Matthews bullet?
I don't know. Who stops that?
Nobody's stopping that. That's twice he scored that goal in Montreal. First one was against Price. Second one was against Niemi. Through the neutral zone, toe drag, shelf.
Yeah.
Like, he has scored three beauties in Montreal through two games. The OT winner a few weeks ago was pretty nice, too. Like, he had to tap that down out of midair.
Yeah.
Get it off quick. And he's playing tonight, of course. Arizona in town. We'll tee that up. We'll revisit our poll question. See if the people are starting to get behind the O-Dog.
I think we're actually in trouble here with this poll question.
I think he retweeted it, and he's got the minions behind him.
Oh, come on. Oh, what? So I retweet it, and all of a sudden the dum-dums start...
Well, so all of a sudden people are like, yeah, I'll share my plunger with you.
Right. If you missed it, we'll revisit it. We'll get to our best bets. Tee up the Leaf game. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm fading the Sabres. I'm on Columbus tonight. I'm going to go over the number in the Leaf game tonight. Matthews might have 6 in himself tonight. It's his hometown team. And under the number, Winnipeg, Nashville. Throw down 20. You can score 85. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. That Winnipeg, Nashville game, that's a big game. It's early in the year, but those two teams are going to battle it out.
Yeah.
In the Central Division. So let's get an update on the poll question that we have had up on Twitter for the past couple of hours at Overdrive 1050, asking the people.
How many votes?
Over 2,500 votes. Is it offside to ask a friend to borrow their plunger? 47%. Yes. 53% no.
Wow.
53% of society is fine with asking to borrow a plunger.
That's, but when you think about it, it is what it is. It's not a comfortable thing, but...
It explains what's wrong with society. About a half of society is crazy and just has no idea what they're thinking. I'm shocked they're getting through their own lives, that they continue to wake up every day and just
move on. I'm not convinced it's a reasonable request. I just don't.
It's not. There's no convincing. You can't ask somebody else to borrow their plunger. Yet you have no problem with doing that.
None.
You're a part of the 53%.
Yeah.
You're a part of the majority.
The majority has spoken.
I guess.
Although, maybe tomorrow by the time... Are you leaving... Is this one a 24-hour one?
We're going to leave it right till the end, and we'll see where it ends up.
This will have 5,000 votes. And people will weigh in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go through and look at the comments tonight.
All right. Yeah, feel free.
There are some people weighing in saying, no guy, or hell no guy.
Well, and some people sending in ways around it. You know,
exactly.
You don't have access.
Water.
Yes.
The boiling water is actually an interesting one.
I had not heard that one before.
Probably should go with that. Start off with that because...
Well, you got to do something.
Yeah, but there's a Walmart 100 meters from here across the highway, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They sell them there.
You live in a building. Can't you call up the...
maintenance guy.
Yeah. Could you call him up and be like...
we got a situation.
Get up here now.
You wouldn't believe what I've done this weekend. I need you up here stat.
I don't know if he would respond to that. He would say go to the Walmart too.
I wouldn't blame him. It's a tough gig.
I haven't, like, it's... it takes a lot of work to clog a toilet, too. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah. You have
did
to
you
be
couch
in a really
the whole day and have some
place.
Saw yesterday?
Yesterday, I had a lot of pizza, but we had a birthday party yesterday.
Yeah.
For Everly, so we had all the family over, and we didn't do it as big as we did for the first birthday. It was
that's
the
good.
Second birthday.
You don't
birthday.
Have to do it. Yeah, every birthday yep. doesn't have to be an absolute gong show.
Yeah, we scaled it back
when we were kids,
bit.
Our mom used to make us a cake, and that was it.
Believe me, I'm
maybe
fine
your
with
two
that.
Buddies came over.
I've been trying to migrate the birthday and Christmas because Dylan's birthday's on the 7th. And
you can't
Christmas,
do that. Though.
I've been trying to just get the, you get a present in between, I think you're in good shape.
So you want essentially to get rid of both and just have like a middle ground around like the 17th.
Yeah, probably 17th. You get a big present. From one from birthday, you know, kind of birthday, Christmas tied together.
It makes some sense, but you know you're not going to win that battle.
Not a chance.
There's no way Steph is putting up with
just
that.
She's having a huge party again for this kid.
She's turning what, five?
Five. Like what?
A big five-year-old birthday
oh,
party?
Yeah, we got to go to this Candyland or Playland or something like that or rent wow. it out. Like it's a gong show.
Come on, dude. Get but your house in order.
I'm trying to. I'm trying, but it's tough.
All right.
You know what I'm dealing with, put it that way.
I'm aware.
Peg Bundy's passed out on the couch right now. I guarantee you it.
Well, will she be watching the Leaf game tonight? Leafs, Arizona?
She will.
Freddie Anderson, we believe, is going to get the start. He's playing yep. really, really well. Arizona's won two in a row, but they're the yeah. worst team in the league. You know, we've been saying it. It's got
to
be guaranteed
win. No disrespect to them.
Game.
They're an NHL lineup.
Technically, they are one of 31 teams in the National Hockey League. But they've done their damage on this Eastern Canadian roadie.
Yeah.
Beat Montreal, beat Ottawa. You got your 4 points in two games. Let's keep it rolling if you're the Maple Leafs. A chance to go 7 wins in a row tonight. They haven't done that since, I believe, 03, Gibby was saying earlier today.
There you
so
go.
You win 7 in a row at any point in the season, you're putting yourself in a very good spot.
Pretty happy with it.
Should be a good game tonight, Monday night or tonight as well. Bunch of games in the NHL. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.